Thank you for joining us for the Jackson Community Scripture Study as we walk our way through the book of Psalms, meeting at St. John the Evangelist in Jackson, Michigan. I'm your host, Todd Gale. Welcome as we walk our way through the book of Psalms.
Welcome aboard. We're going to look at, we thought it would be appropriate today to do Psalm 22. Psalm 22 you might recognize as Jesus praying from the cross. With my God, why have you abandoned me, right? So normally when we think of Psalm 22, we think of it as just being a psalm of lament or a psalm of absolute abandonment. But as it goes on, it ends really well. So when we hear Jesus saying these words from the cross, we recognize that the beginning is a lament and it's dreadful. But we also realize that at the end, there's victory. Amen?
Amen.
There's victory in the end. And so we're going to take a look at Psalm 22. This is beautiful. And then the next couple of weeks, we're going to do Psalm 23 and 24. Because actually, these three psalms go together. They really go together. Psalm 22 is a lament for the most part. Psalm 23 is a psalm of hope. And Psalm 24 is a psalm of glory. So the three of them really kind of go together, at least in a Christian perspective. Amen?
Amen.
This was first written almost 1,000 years before Jesus. Did you notice at least a couple little prophecies? A couple little things that show up at the time of the cross? We're going to walk through some of that. I put little crosses by them throughout the Bible, just in on my pages. Every time something showed up that was foreseeing what's going to happen to Christ, or even in the future, some of the things like they will proclaim to a people yet unborn the deliverance you have brought. That's a prophecy too. So we're going to look at the beginning, the first part. At first, it is a complete pleading and lament. Amen. It is desperate. It is desperate. And what often happens in the Psalms is, and it's a very Jewish thing, the Israelites and the Jews will go back to the way that the Lord protected their fathers, the way that the Lord moved mightily in the past. So he says in verse 5, "In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted you and you rescued them." Right? "To you they cried out and they escaped. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. So please do the same for me. Do the same. But I am a worm. I'm hardly even human. Scorned by everyone and despised by the people." Was Jesus scorned and despised? Absolutely. And those words are even used. I can't remember if Luke specifically uses them, but those words are even used that he's scorned, he's despised. In verse 8, "All who see me mock me. They curl their lips and jeer." Does that happen to Jesus? Yeah. "You relied on the Lord," they say. "Let him deliver you. If he loves you, let him rescue you." Did Jesus hear those words? Absolutely.
Yep.
Right? They said the same thing to him. Yeah, these lines here are kind of interesting. "Despite this agony, for some reason, Lord, you gave me life," is what he's saying here. "Yet you drew me forth from the womb. You made me safe. Upon you, when he was born, he was thrust upon the Lord since his birth." Right at birth, he's thrust into the arms of the Lord. So, what's the point, God? You must have a purpose. You had me born, right? "You drew me forth from the womb. I trusted you right from the beginning. So please, please," he's pleading in verse 12. "So please don't stay away from me. There's no one else that's going to help." Then in this second section, the enemies are described as less than human. These enemies are described as animals. He talks about bulls, dogs, lions, dogs and bulls again, right? The enemies are like, they're less than human even. Now look at all of these little prophecies that pop up. Do you see some in this section? Verse 13 to 22.
Pierced my hands and my feet.
Okay. Pierced my hands and feet.
Micah 16, my tongue cleaves to my palate.
Okay. What does that mean?
Thirsty.
I thirst.
Drawing lots for your clothing.
Yeah. They divide my garments and draw lots. The gospel writers specifically quote the psalm. They specifically quote that, just as was foreseen. Right? They divide the garments, they cast lots for them. He's almost at that point of total, complete despair. We know that Jesus did not despair, but the psalmist is at the point, right at the edge. There's almost nothing to hold on to. My heart is melting away. But then, at the last second, when you just think, oh my gosh, this is so depressing. This is so down. Then verse 23, there's this burst of confidence. Then I will proclaim to the church, to the gathering, to the assembly. He's got hope again. He's going to proclaim to the people. And all descendants of Jacob, you know what? Give honor. And show reverence, and all the descendants of Israel show reverence, for God has not spurned or disdained the misery of this poor wretch. Verse 25. God has not abandoned, even though it felt like it. He does not turn away. He heard me when I cried out. And I'm gonna praise in the great assembly. The great assembly of all the people that are gathered, that I will fulfill my vows, I will fulfill before those who fear Him, the Lord, the poor. And in verse 27, the poor means more the humble, the pious, the devout. It's not the same word as poor as in not having things. It's more of a spiritual poor, the humble. They will eat their fill. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? Those who seek the Lord will offer praise. May your hearts enjoy life forever. That does not sound like despair. There's eternal glory in that. Amen? Isn't that great? It's just total turnaround. Right at the edge of total despair. And he doesn't quite fall all the way in. This is a very realistic psalm. For a lot of us that feel like we get to that point of that despair. And then it can turn on a dime for us sometimes. And then verse 28 onwards, even the dead are going to bow and kneel. All who sleep in the earth will bow low before God. All who have gone down into the dust will kneel in homage. Right? Every knee shall bend, every tongue confess. St. Paul writes, and I will live for the Lord, and my descendants will serve you. My descendants will serve you. The generation to come, they'll be told of the Lord, and they will proclaim to a people yet unborn the deliverance that's been brought by the Lord. Amen. It starts so sad and profoundly despairing. So when Jesus says those words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Every Jew knows this poem, or this psalm. They would all know this. So they recognize what it is that he's saying. And how bizarre that some of these very things are happening to him as he's praying this. Right? It's because clothing is being torn apart and lots cast for it, and he's pierced. And it's just, oh my goodness, the way this fits. It's almost like God had something to do with it, right? It's just utterly amazing. Well, you'll definitely hear this psalm on Good Friday. If not, I think it was just last Sunday. It was also our psalm response.
Thank you for walking the way through the Book of Psalms from the Jackson Community Scripture Study.